morning to Genesis chapter number 50. Genesis chapter number 50 today. We are actually finishing up our book of Genesis today. It's been, I think it was March 2014 as we went through the book of Genesis. And obviously we did other messages at different times as the Lord led. But we're saying goodbye to Genesis this morning, at least in the idea of a series. And we're seeing Joseph this morning, and Joseph passes away in our story today. Great book of the Bible. We learned so much. I gained a lot of knowledge in a lot of areas. And I look at the story of Joseph, and boy, it just teaches us so many wonderful truths. And today I'm praying that God can help us as we look at Joseph's life one last time. Title of this morning's message is Joseph Sees God Meant It for Good. Joseph Sees God Meant It for Good. Back in this past, I believe it was March, I preached a message talking about believing to see. And the text of that message was Psalms 27:13. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And as we're getting ready for our Friend Day, that's about 6-7 weeks away, the theme for our Friend Day this year is believing to see the goodness of the Lord. And we're going to be in this, we're going to be looking at some different Bible characters during the month of September that believe to see the goodness of the Lord. And we have a choice in our life. We can, as the psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. We can faint and we can give up and we can fail and we can falter and we can quit, or we can believe to see the goodness of God in our life and what he is trying to do in our lives and through us. And this is what the story of Joseph as it ends is going to go into our next series about different Bible characters that believe to see the goodness of the Lord. And this morning, I want to encourage you to believe to see the goodness of God. And I want you to see how Joseph saw that God meant everything that happened into his life as good. Now, you think about it, the story of Joseph. He was sold by his brothers. His brothers hated him. It even says that he could not speak peacefully to his brothers could not speak peacefully to him. They took him and they threw him in a pit and they sold him in slavery. And then as he went to slavery, he went to Potiphar. And at Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him and blessed him, made him to where he was in charge of the house of probably one of the strongest and the greatest generals in the Egyptian army at that time. And it wasn't until Potiphar's wife began to cast his eyes toward her that everything was going pretty well for Joseph. Well, Joseph refused the temptation of Potiphar's wife, would not lay with her, and he was falsely accused, thrown into jail. And then while in jail, he sat there. Once again, the Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him. And he continued to serve and he continued to work hard and became in charge of the jail in a sense, as in a prisoner role at least. And he met the butler and met the baker, and he interpreted their dreams, and they forgot about him. You know, over and over and over, you see things happening in Joseph's life that if they happened to us, many of us would just give up and say, I can't take it anymore. I can't handle this. I just can't do it. Joseph here chooses to see that God meant it unto good. And we come to this last chapter, his last portion about Joseph, and he deals with his brothers once again. Remember, we've seen how the famine came and how he was made prime minister over Egypt and how God used him and brought him to that exalted position because he was willing to believe in God and see the goodness of God. And here in chapter 50, verses 15 through 26, last week we said goodbye to Joseph's father, Jacob, or Israel. And we see here in verse number 15, his brothers realize something. They say, Dad's gone now. Joseph might try to get even with us after Dad is gone. Let's see what happens here in Genesis chapter 15. It says in the Bible, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now, this is kind of interesting because this is one of the first times you see that they actually are owning up for the evil they've done. I'm sure they had done that earlier. They had gotten things right. But here we see written for the first time, they realize it was evil what they did. They're worried because Jacob is gone. Joseph now is going to retaliate. In verse number 16, the Bible says, and they sent a messenger. So they concocted this plan. They sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying. So these brothers here are trying to make sure that Joseph is not going to harm them and their families. Now, they make up this story that their dad said something. says in verse 17 that so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God and thy father. And it says, and Joseph wept when they spake unto him. We see Joseph here is his heartbroken. He can't believe his brothers would think this about him after he's already taken such good care of him and how that he's already forgiven them. And verse number 18, the brethren see Joseph weeping. And says, and brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Verse number 19, Joseph makes a really interesting statement here. He says, for Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? I don't know about you, but that kind of puts things in perspective. Joseph is saying, look, yes, I know you meant it evil. I know you did these things wrong. He says, but it's not my job to punish you. It's not my job to make sure that you're right. He says, for am I in the place of God? And we're going to look at that in a little bit. And he says one of the, even a greater statement I see in verse number 20 when he says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph chose to see all the things that happened in his life as a way that God was working and God was moving in. He could look past his circumstances to see that God's providential hand had brought him to that place, that moment, at that time for a reason. And this is the idea of seeing the goodness of God, realizing that God is working and God is moving. And if we will choose to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, we'll understand that their circumstances is not controls or dictates who we are. It's the God that we serve and how we truly desire to want to know him more. Let's keep on going. And it says, verse 21, now therefore fear ye not. He's telling his brothers, look, I will nourish you. He's telling them, look, and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Verses 22 through 26, we see the Joseph's passing and Joseph getting ready to die. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years old. Now, according to my edition, Joseph was about 56 years old when his father died. So for about 54 years, he lived in this prominent role as the prime minister of Egypt. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. It's kind of interesting, kind of neat to see Joseph as a father here, and Joseph as a grandfather. It's nice to see that personal side that, you know, they brought his grandchildren and they sat on his knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. Last week we looked a little bit at that, how we all face death. We all are going to have to make sure we're prepared and ready for the moment that we die. And God will surely visit you. And this is the thing is, he is saying even after 54 years of living after his father died and even being in Egypt for all those years, he's saying, look, he still believes God's promise. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The amazing thing was after these 80, 90 years in Egypt, he still believed in the promises of God. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel. He's saying to them, look, I want you to promise me something. He's saying, God will surely visit you and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And we see in the book of Exodus, this is exactly what happens. That night, 400 years later, the children of Israel are finally leaving Egypt and under God's mighty hand after the 10 plagues and all those different things. It's talked about how Moses takes up Joseph's bones. And you think about how they carried Joseph's bones all those years through the wilderness, all those years and all those trials they went through. He had the faith as he was dying to say, God is going to visit you and make sure you take my bones with you. Verse 26, so Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today as we preach the message, Joseph sees God meant it for good. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you calm our hearts, you calm our minds, and you give us exactly what you want us to have. Lord, guide the words, give me the words to say. Lord, help us to apply these things to our heart. Lord, if we're willing to see the goodness, your goodness in every situation, Lord, it will change the way we live our lives. Thankful for the example of Joseph. Thank you for seeing what Joseph went through, even though he dealt with slavery, even though he dealt with imprisonment, even though he dealt with angry family members. He could see you working it all out. And Lord, sometimes it's hard to see that from where we live and where we're at, but help us to believe. Help us to trust in your promises and in your words, seeing the goodness of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I learned throughout the book of Joseph, the book of Genesis and the story of Joseph, it helped me remember and confirm and reaffirm in my heart and mind that God is in control of everything. Every event that occurs in our lives, He is able to orchestrate it. There are no accidents. There is no such thing as a coincidence. There is only the providential working of God and the outworking of the perfect will of God in our lives. And we need to believe in the goodness of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes the devil will bring things in our lives. We talked about this on Wednesday night when we look at the story of Job. God allows things to happen in our lives. God's not always behind it. God can use the evilness, and that's what it talks about here in verse number 20. He says, ye thought evil against me. He was saying to his brothers, you meant it as evil, but God took what your wickedness was and your evil heart, and He made it for good for me in my life. And something we've got to remember this morning, if we're willing to look and believe and see the goodness of God, there are some things that we're going to be able to do. And that's what I'd like to look at today. Three different things Joseph was able to do because he saw the goodness of God, or he saw that God meant it for good. First thing I want you to see is that he was able to release his past. He was able to release his past. So what do you mean? Well, most of us would demand justice. Most of us would demand, they treated me this way, they deserve to pay. But as we heard even in Miss Karen's song, that she deserved, in the song, the Bible character deserved punishment, deserved death, but Jesus Christ offered her mercy and offered her grace. And in our lives, if we are willing to see the goodness of God, how God can take whatever anybody does to me and whatever circumstance that happens in my life, and He can take those things and He can work it together for my good and for His glory, we'll learn to release our past. We'll be willing to forgive those that don't deserve to be forgiven. We'll be willing to continue on in service despite what might happen in our lives. After the death of Jacob, the brothers of Joseph, they're worried. They remember the terrible things they did. But Joseph never, it was never in Joseph's heart to hold that over their head. He had forgiven them from their transgression. He could look back at them and he could see them, and he had a clear conscience of how he dealt with them and how he treated them. He had already forgiven them. He had already done what God had desired for him to do. I tell you, if we are willing to look and believe and see the goodness of God, not see it as the rest of the world would tell you to see it, not to see it as our friends may tell us to see it, but if we look at the world through the eyes of the Word of God and through the eyes of what God's trying to do, we're going to be able to release our past. As we pass through life, there will be times when we're hurt by others. Don't get me wrong. The Bible even says that Jesus said himself, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. He says, look, it's impossible. Offenses are going to come in your life. You're going to have hardship. You're going to have a hard time. People are going to deal unfairly with you. People are going to treat you wrong. And when hurtful words and harsh deeds come to our lives and they break our heart, we have two choices of action. We can have a choice to forgive the person and do what the Bible teaches us, or we can have a choice to be bitter and try to get even. But see, the Bible's saying here that Joseph, he chose to see how God could take that and use that as he promised in his word and make it good for his life. Because of that, he was willing to release his past. Now, we learn in Luke 17, verses 3 through 5, how to deal with someone who's offended you. It says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus was telling his disciples, forgive. Forgive. Let them know if they've offended you, if they hurt you. Let them know. And when they ask for forgiveness, forgive them. And it says, even if they do it 7 times in a day, still forgive them. See, if we truly can believe in the hand of God and that God's in control of all things, no matter what happens to us in our lives, we can see God and we can release our past. And I find it interesting here in verse number 19, it says, am I in the place of God? See, Joseph was able to leave this world with a clear conscience and say, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. Now, God, it's your turn to take care of my brothers. Are you in the place of God? You know, sometimes we get to the spot and we get to this moment in our lives and we think we're the ones that have to bring about justice. And don't get me wrong, we are supposed to, we're taught to raise our children and we're taught to correct our children and we're taught on how to deal with those that treat us wrong and things like that. But we think it's our job to get vengeance sometimes when someone hurts us. But what the Word of God is saying here and what Joseph is saying to his brothers, he says, am I in the place of God? He's saying, look, you ten should not be worried about what I'm going to do to you or what I could do to you. Someday you'll stand before an almighty God and you need to be worried about what God will do to you. See, Joseph had this good understanding. He says, look, I'm not in the place of God. If anyone is going to punish you for your sin, if anyone's going to hold you accountable, if anyone's going to cause heartache in your life, it's not going to be me. He says, it's going to be God. And this is where we got to get to in our lives. If we can see the goodness of God and the situations that are happening in our lives, if we can see that God can take any situation and work it out for good, we'll be able to release our past. We'll be able to live in a way to where we forgive people and we don't hold bitterness and we don't hold anger. We're just going to say, okay, God, I am leaving this with you. This is in your hands. God, I am releasing this to you. See, Joseph's brothers couldn't understand that. They had never gotten it right with God. They had never gotten it completely. They're even making up a story about what their father had said, supposedly, you know, on his dying bed. They still had some problems. And Joseph says, no. It's not me that you have to worry about. It's God. And I know sometimes, and we should be concerned when we offend someone. When we offend someone, the Bible tells us to go to them and ask for forgiveness. And if someone has offended us, the Bible even tells us that we need to go to them and seek forgiveness and seek a reconciliation if we can't just forgive them. And we need to understand this and get to the spot where Joseph's at. Are you willing to release your past? See, if you can believe that God can take what happened in your past, work it together for good, and you know what you can do? You can release that. You don't have to live a life of bitterness and anger. You can be as Joseph says, am I in the place of God? Be worried about God. Don't be worried about me, he's saying. Second thing I want you to see here is not only was he able to release his past, but he was able to recognize God's providences or remember God's providences. Now, so if you're a person who believes to see the goodness of God, you'll be able to release your past, but you'll also be able to remember God's providences. Now, Joseph did not pretend here. He looked at these 10 guys and says, you meant it for evil for me. You would have killed me if it wasn't for Judas saying this. Everything that was in your heart, everything that was in your mind, it was wickedness, it was evil, it was wrong. You meant it as evil unto me. You were wrong with what you did. But he says, I can see something else that happened. I can see how God took your evilness, your wickedness, and he worked it together for good. This is when we understand that the providences of God even outworks and outweighs the best laid plans of man. Joseph does not pretend that it was not evil. It certainly was. He knew the intent of their heart. He was there when they betrayed him. He was there when they sold him to slavery. He was there when he saw their deeper intentions. Yes, they sinned against Joseph, but God even used their sin to accomplish his eternal plan. In one verse, Joseph looks back over the 30 years of trial and triumph and acknowledges God's hand was in every detail of his life. Joseph knows that the hatred and betrayal, the slavery and the imprisonment and the loneliness and the separation were all part of God's bigger plan. God used the valleys and the victories of Joseph's life to reach to Joseph's brothers, to encourage Jacob, to bring children of Israel to Egypt, and literally save the entire world from a famine. God did all those things. And Joseph looks back at the age of 56 and says, look, you were wicked, you were evil, but God took that and he made it into good. And I think it's good to go back and ponder your life. The good to see how God took you from a certain spot and where you are today. And if you've been living for the Lord and you've been serving the Lord, there have been some valleys and there have been some mountaintops. But when we look back and we see, look, God took that and God was able to use that. And that God helped me to learn this truth. And then God helped me to learn that truth. And God helped me to start teaching here, or God helped to grow here, or to reach this one person, or I helped make a difference over here. If we ponder and look back over the circumstances of our life, we can see how God has been with us every moment of the way and how God has never, ever failed us. Now, we might have failed him, but he has never, ever failed us. And he has grown us to help us become the man and the women that God is able to use today if you allow him to. See, Joseph wasn't ready to be prime minister of Egypt. He wasn't ready to do all the things that God had in his heart. He had to go through those times and those periods of trials and triumphs and bitterness that could have been on his heart, and him learn how to forgive, and him learn how to fight temptation against Potiphar's wife, and him learn all the different things to get to this spot where he could say, yes, you tried to hurt me, but God took that and did something good in my life. If you look back in your life and you've forgiven somebody, you've released your past, you can take that and say, you know what? You try to hurt me, but God helped me with it. It's hard to say. We like to have victory more than the valley. We like to have the good days more than the bad days. But the question that confronts us is, are we really truly willing to embrace joyfully anything that happens in our life? Because we know that God is behind it all and he will get glory from it all. Are we willing to accept his will? Are we willing to go against our own will? Are we willing to allow him to develop us through what he's trying to do? Are we willing to see the providential hands of God and remember he's the one in charge? All things work together for good. All things. Are we willing to do that today? A person who sees the goodness of God in the land of the living, despite all the bad things in the world, a person who can see what God is doing, is a person who will remember God's providential hand. A person who can look at someone in the face and say, I've forgiven you. You tried to hurt me. But you know what? God has tried to work this out. The third thing I want you to see, and the last thing here, is when a person believes to see the goodness of God, he will first release his past. Secondly, he will remember God's providences. Third, he will rest on God's promises. He will rest on God's promises. And you see here in verses 22 through 26, Joseph is leaving this world. He even says in verse number 24, brethren, I die. He knows he's dying, and his heart's interest is that they know that God's going to visit them. They know that God is going to return, just as he's promised to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, that God is going to give them that land of promise. And he reminds them of this. He says, I want you to do something for me. I want you to take my bones with you. Now, this is different than the culture they lived in. In this position as a prime minister in Egypt, you know what most of those people that were those high-ranking officials would do? Those pharaohs, what would they do? They would build great pyramids. Or they would build great temples. They would build buildings and be extravagant and lavish their buildings for when they died and they were mummified. This is when that time period was happening. But Joseph says, no, no, no. Just put me in a coffin somewhere because I'm not going to stay. He said, I don't need to spend my money on all these things. I don't need to get caught up in the things of this world. He was in Egypt, but Egypt was not in him. He was in Egypt for all those years, and he says, look, the thing that matters most to me is that someday I go back to that land of promise. Yes, I was taken out of that land when I was 17-year-old, but I know God has promises, and he says, surely he will visit you. God will surely visit you. He still rests in the promises of God. Despite anything that happened to his life, he saw the promises of God. He hung on to the promises of God, and he would not let him go. Even on his deathbed, he is saying, hey, look, God will surely visit you. Now take my bones with you when he does. You think about the testimony Joseph must have had. You think about what he has been prime minister of Egypt. He interpreted the Pharaoh's dream. He has forgiven his brothers over year after year after year after year. You see this man's testimony shining. And now he brings it says his brethren. And I'm assuming that it's probably his brother's children and grandchildren. His brothers may have already passed off on the way. They were all older than him, and some of them extremely older than he was. And he is speaking to the generations that are there. These are the generations that are going to be in Egypt for 400 years as slaves. And he's speaking to them. He says, God will surely visit you. Don't forget this. Pass this down to your children. Yes, you're here now, but God will surely visit you. And this is coming from a man that had a testimony that shined. You think about it. Everybody else, you think about their brothers would have thought of Joseph. They would have lifted him up. He forgave us. He's taking care of us. He's taking care of our children. This is like the patriarch of the family, and they're sitting there, and he says, look, God will surely visit you. And hundreds of years later, they're crying out still to the same God. Because this man's testimony, God will surely visit you. Now, are you holding on to God's promises today? I mean, what promises are you holding on to? I mean, the Bible is filled with them. Today, in Sunday school class, we taught about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we talked about that's a promise that we need to grab a hold on to. And say, if God wants me to do it, I can do it. I can do all things, whatever he asked me to do, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And here Joseph is holding to the promise that God had promised him that he's going to return. You know, this is the same assurance that a person has that is a Christian. The Bible tells us in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What the Word of God is saying, that Jesus has told his disciples, that it's the same promise he has to anybody that's a believer. They come to the spot and says, look, I am returning again. Just as Joseph knew that God was going to visit Israel and they were going to take him to the land of Canaan, Jesus is telling these people, he says, look, I will return again. And he says, and where I am, there you may be also. I'm leaving this world for now, but I'm going to prepare mansions in heaven. And are you holding to that promise? There's a promise there that he gives us that he is going to return. Are you living your life like that? Joseph had saving faith. Joseph had living faith. And Joseph had dying faith here. Three things I want you to see there under this. Salvation's by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, there's so many religions out there today will tell you, if you do enough good things, then you get to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're saved by God's grace through faith. It's by understanding that we are sinner and that we are lost and need a Savior, and that we believe and put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on this cross, did on the cross. When he came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again, as it said in the scriptures, that you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior? Do you have that salvation by faith? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save you today? Jesus has made a promise to those that believe in God, believe also in me. And in his word, it talks about how to believe and repenting of your sins and asking Christ to be your personal Savior. Next thing I want you to see, not as a salvation by faith, but we're supposed to live by faith. Live by faith. Yeah. Joseph's a good example of this. Whether it was in the pit or even at his house where his brothers hated him, or whether it was in the Potiphar's house or the prison or even in the palace, he still lives by faith. You know, when things were horrible, yeah, that's all we got to do is hold on to it and live by faith because things are going bad. But think about it, Joseph's prime minister of Egypt. His brothers are coming. If he doesn't have to live by faith there. He already has everything he needs, right? He doesn't have to forgive them. He still believes in God, believes in God's way. He still can see that God is going to mean this for good. Living faith. But also, you see, he had dying by faith also. See, the day of the Christian's death, I believe, will be the greatest day of their lives. I know we talk about how salvation is the greatest decision you can make, and I agree with that. And I know how many people talk about salvation, the day you become a Christian is the greatest day of your life. And I get that. But you think about the day you die and meet your Savior. That's got to rank pretty high up there, doesn't it? The day that you're seeing the Lord, there's a dying by faith. Now, once again, if you're a Christian, you're not going to lose your salvation just because of the fact that you don't have the great faith that you should have at death. But dying by faith gives a testimony We need to have faith in our dying hour to be an example to those that are by us. Our families are near us. Our friends are near us. They're close by to us, and they come near us. And that's what Joseph's friends and Joseph's family is there. And he says, look, surely God will visit you. He doesn't talk about all the wonderful stories. He doesn't talk about all the great things he had and all the opportunities he's had. He says, no, don't forget this promise. God will visit with you, surely. I want to encourage you today. Believe on God's promises. Think about what you're going to say as an example when you pass. Can you face your own death with confidence? Are you prepared to die? And I'm not trying to talk in a morbid way. I'm asking you, have you prepared for the day you're going to meet God? In Amos, it says, prepare to meet thy God. Are you saved today? Are you on your way to heaven? The Bible says that we should be prepared for that day. Joseph here is prepared. Joseph says, I die. He knows he's going to die, and he prepares his way. Joseph was, some people call lucky. Joseph was blessed. The fact he got to live for 110 years. He knew he was going to die. Not everybody does it end that way. Some people die just like that. The lady we talked about in our prayer list died at the age of 47. I'm sure she was planning on living longer than that. No one's promised tomorrow. Are you prepared to die today? Do you know Christ? Joseph left this world clinging to the great promises of a mighty God. He left here right with God and right with man. He left here with full assurance that God had led him every step of the way. He left here knowing that death was not the end, but there was a better future down the road. This morning, can you see that God is taking the things of your life and making it for your good and for his glory? That's what his promises, and that's how Joseph was able to release his past, remember his providences, God's providences, and rest on the promises of God. Maybe today there's something you need to release in the past. Maybe today you need to take some time and look back over your life and see how God orchestrated all this to bring you here for a time such as this. Or maybe today you just need to say, you know what? I'm not resting on God's promises like I should. And I need to have greater faith. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads.